We have a very wonderful subject today provided by Joel. Ye are the light. The light means many things to many people, depending on many factors, too. I suppose at one time we all thought the light was some form of higher inspiration. To a physicist, the light would be dancing electrons. Always lurking in the corner of the human mind is an opinion about the light. And because it is a human mind, it has a finite opinion about light that is infinite. Now, I'd like you to look at this. This is a magnifying glass. And if we held it in the sunlight over a piece of paper, say about 6 inches from the paper, the light would be received by the magnifying glass, and then it would be condensed and concentrated in a point. And within a few moments, the paper would be on fire. Now, just in the same way, we receive the light of the world through our senses, and you might say that this magnifying glass then represents our senses. And the light of the world enters our senses and is compressed. And here's this brain receiving all the light at one point. And at the point where the brain receives all of the light that comes through the senses, this becomes our concept chamber. It actually becomes our form. It becomes our body and our mind. And now you can see that we're limited only to what pours through that magnifying glass. If it has not the capacity to receive something that is outside of it, it never gets through to that brain. Now, this is the tomb that man has lived in for many thousands and thousands of years, with his five senses used as antennae. He receives, it seems, the outer light of the world, and then this light pressing into his brain gives him his opinions, his thoughts, his beliefs, the sensory images that he judges to be external to himself. And if we were to continue to live in that frame of mind, we would continue to suffer the various problems that the world encounters. We find that in this frame of mind, man is controlled by his environment. He has absolutely no power to control the environment around himself. He has the illusion that he controls it, until perhaps one night he comes home and there's a fire and his two children are burned. Then he realizes he doesn't control his environment at all. Or his son is drafted, or whatever, we find that this world around us controls us. And try as we will, when we penetrate in some way to control the forces that oppose us, we find that as we're facing frontwards, there's a force creeping up behind us. And ultimately, even though our vanity is high, we must admit to ourselves that as a human being, we are subject to every possible disaster and catastrophe on the face of the earth. Now along comes the Master. He says there's another way of life. Instead of being a five-sense antenna, which extracts images from the air and entombs you within those images, come into the broader view, that view of life which is given to us by those who have transcended the human mind. not those who are living within the limitations of that mind, but those who have actually stepped beyond its perimeter, who have discovered another universe, a universe where the environment around man is not unfriendly, contains no disasters, contains no catastrophes, where death is, itself is unknown. And so the Master gives us words, ye are the light. Ye are the light of the world. And because the Master has said, I am the light, when we are told, ye are the light, those of us who have wondered how we ought to live in a world where madness prevails, where inhumanity prevails, where corruption prevails, where disease prevails, and where there seem to be no antidotes for these things. We listen carefully then to the Master's words. I am the light of the world. I'm not a human being. What is the meaning of this light of the world? Explain it. Because if I am something else than I think I am, it's high time I knew about it. Now, I'm not going to give you any personal opinions about the meaning of the light. I think we've had enough of personal opinions about things. But rather, we're going in Scripture to trace the word light. Not as you think about it, not as I think about it, but as those prophets who wrote about it knew it to be. For it was they who spent their lifespan demonstrating the power of that light, proving to us that they had something we could depend upon. And if we are to call ourselves Christians, or whatever we do call ourselves, if we are to believe in the gospel, then the authority of those who say, ye are the light, must be witnessed in our own consciousness if we are to be illuminated. Now, Paul said, put on the full armor of light. In a way, he may have made a mistake. Because the moment you hear that, you respond with the idea that I will use the armor of light to protect myself. The Master went further. He did not say, put on the full armor of light. He said, ye are the light. And that distinction is the distinction between the Master and Paul. Ye are the light. Then we search the Scripture to know, what does it mean? Now, perhaps some of you want to take down a list that I have prepared. Maybe it would be better if we do that later, after the class. And now we proceed in our pilgrimage through the Bible to find in the Bible itself the very meaning we seek. We're going to start with the Master's words in Matthew, in the 5th chapter, in the Sermon on the Mount. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now then, the salient fact seemed to be that every one of us is the light of the world. These words are not spoken to any particular individual. They are impartial words. They are not singling out this one or that one. They are not singling out any nation, any race, any creed, or any color. They are speaking to the human race. And they say, ye are the light of the world. And so we have here a light that is not individual, but universal. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. And then the command, let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now then, I am that light. Each of us sitting here is that light. And the one whose word we respect, the Master, says, let your light shine. And my question is, what is my light? Where is it? How do I let it shine? What's the way? I really do not know what that light is. But Scripture does. Now let us see. In John, we find a very illuminating statement. Right at the beginning, in the first chapter, in him, speaking of God, was life. And the life was the light of men. Now, the light that I am is told here as the life of God. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Because we are the light, and the light is the life of God, we are the life of God. Now that should be established clearly and definitively as the fact given to us by the Master. You are the life of God, because the light that you are is the life of God. Now dwell on that a moment and try to recall in the entire past human span of your life how often you have been aware or unaware that the life of God is you. But that's what the Bible says. Think of the moment, the years in which you have acted without the knowledge that the life of God is you. Is it a wonder then that we have experienced problems, that we have not been immune to the world's disasters, that we have not been under the government of the life of God? Inasmuch as we have been unaware that the life of God is our life. And then the mind says, how can I be the life of God? Look at my mother and father. Weren't they the life of God? Look at the hard life they had. Look at all the tortures that have gone on in this world. Weren't they the life of God? What about the children who suffer from malnutrition? Aren't they the life of God? And the answer is no, they're not. The moment we hear that we are the life of God, the light of God, we are learning that we are not what we had thought we were. We come into this world and grow into the belief that we are mortal beings. Is not God immortal? Is the life of God mortal? Can the life of immortality be anything but immortality? Is not God all? And is not the life of God immortal as God itself? So we find that we, accepting mortality, have actually denied that we are the life, the light of God. We, accepting mortality, have lived under the assumption that we are another life, not the life of God. For we know now that the life of God being immortal, when we accepted mortal life as our life, we accepted another life than the life of God. And that other life which we accepted is the life which has been subject to the problems of this world. The Master wasn't here to merely give us words to rhyme or words to read, but rather words to lift us beyond the temporary, limited concepts of the human mind, to lift us into the kingdom of God on earth. And that meant a change from the human beliefs. And one of those beliefs was that I am a mortal being with a life that must end, with a life that is subject to all of the good and evil of this world. But if ye are the light of the world, and the light is the life of God, how can the life of God be subject to the good and evil of this world? So the Master is revealing the nature of the hypnosis of the human mind. That which later would say, "Awake, thou that sleepest," is telling us that mortality is a concept of the human mind, not created by God, not sustained by God, not maintained by God, not under the law of God. And as long as we continue in the belief that we are mortal, we are outside the law of God. And we are living in a second life, a second form that is separated from the very life of God, which is all life. Now, as we learn that God is all, and that all life must be God life, we see that human life, or mortal life, is not God life, and therefore we find it to be nothing but a concept which we live in until we cannot maintain the concept. And then because we are not aware that God life is the only life, and that we are that life, this concept brings about that appearance which we call death. But there is a broader picture here, a far broader picture. And in your present level of consciousness, you may have more than a glimmer of that. You may see, for example, that what we have called human birth is not the beginning of God life. What we have called human death is not the ending of God life. And now you begin to see that there is something happening in this world which claims to be life, which the Master is alerting us to recognize as non-life. And soon, you may even see that all life on this earth or what we have called life, is really the preparation for life. It is not life itself. Just as we have called birth the production of a baby into form, we discover that all that we have really called life is really nothing more than the labor pains preceding the real life. That what we are going through now are these labor pains. The real birth was not in the physical form that took place years ago. The real birth does not take place with death either. The real birth is when you make your transition from being man of earth to being the light of the Father. That is the birth. The Master calls it the rebirth. But when you come out of the belief that I am physical form, subject to physical law, subject to physical death, subject to physical disease, into the realization that you are not physical at all. Ye are the light of the world. When this hits a responsive chord in your consciousness, when you accept the authority of the risen Christ, who says ye are the light of the world, then a change begins, continues as a living transformation in which the light that you are, the life that you are revealed to you as divine. You finally come to the conclusion that God is your Father. The only life you have is a divine life. You have no life that can die. You have a conceptual life that can die. But the only life there is being God, your life is divine. And you must come into possession of the awareness of that divine life. Then these words have begun to open you up. Then these words have a meaning. They are taken out of just a source of inspiration for an evangelical meeting. They come to have a purpose. And that purpose is to turn you from the belief that you are an individual living in a mortal physical form subject to the laws of this world. And the Master, who himself was born into such a form, was able to rise out of that belief into the knowledge which could declare openly to the world, I am the light of the world. Once, I was a physical form. Once, I was a human being, born of woman. Once, I walked in the world subject to the laws of the world. But then came illumination. Then came the realization that I am the light. And the light is the light of God. And in that realization, he stepped out of mortal belief into the mind of Christ. Out of the mind, under the magnifying glass, which condenses all life down to a body, down to a physical self. That was crossed out. And he rose, in consciousness, to the other side of the magnifying glass, to the other side of the five senses, no longer entombed within those five senses. And all that he saw was light, and that light, he said, I am. For that light is the light of God. It is never separated from itself. It is infinite. It has no place where it begins. It has no place where it ends. And in that light is no darkness at all. That light, he said, I am. God is my Father. I and the Father are one light. I am the Son of that light. All that that light has is mine. Every quality of the Father in that light, he said, is my quality. And so I can still the storm. I can cleanse the leper. I can walk the ocean waves. I can say to the cripple, what did hinder thee? Why? Because the light of the Father is my light. And that light is the light of all men. For ye are the light of the world as I am. Call no man your father, for one is your father. And because your father is God, and God is light, the light of God is the light of you. With his demonstration of that truth, he rent the veil. And he was called the firstborn of the Father. We have walked right by, untaught, unknowing, unsuspecting, that the light which appeared on earth under the name Jesus Christ is the self-same light of our own being. And the authority for it is that very self-same Jesus Christ. Ye are the light of the world. Now this will fall on millions of deaf ears. It has already. But here and there, there is a child of God hidden behind a form. And the ears of that child of God hear the Master's voice within, saying, I am the light of your being. I can never leave thee or forsake thee. I in the midst of thee am greater than he that walks the earth. And when this responsive chord is struck, there is a standing still. I am the light. That is my name. That is my birthright. That is my identity. And as you stand still, accepting your identity as the light, your next problem is, what shall I do about it? Where do I go from here? You're in the proper identity, but you don't know where to go. I am the light of the world. I sense the meaning of it, but what is my next step? Usually the very next step is to go right back into that human mind under the microscope, under the magnifying glass. The mind that never knew it was but a fragment without reality. The sense mind, which was subject to every form of evil on the face of the earth. And then with that same mind, we try to figure out what we're to do as the light. But Scripture says, oh, no, no. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. Don't go back to that human mind to discover what you're to do about the light. It doesn't know. If it knew, it would have done it. You are to transcend that mind instantly. Rather, accept the words of the Master as your authority. And the master who tells you ye are the light has a far better plan than the human understanding would outline for you. The master says, all power is in God. If you rely on the evidence of your human mind, you will continue to disbelieve that and violate it, in fact. You will look out and there will be a son or a daughter and a car heading her way. You will shout, look out, look out. That's the human mind. But the divine mind has not placed a form in front of an automobile to be run down. The light of the Father is not going to be run down. Always, in the human mind, we will be tricked into appearances. Very logical, reasonable appearances. And we will feel that we must humanly save someone from a disaster. But one second now. I am the light of the world, and ye are the light. And that light that ye are is the light of that girl standing right where that automobile is coming. And it is the light of the driver. The light of the Father is immortal. Are you seeing another mortal being? Then you're back in your sense mind. And so, all logic notwithstanding, we listen again as the Master says, lean not on your own understanding. Let us establish clearly and forever that all power is in God. That means there is one power. And that power is the power of God, which is the power of love, the power of life, the power of fulfillment, the power of peace, the power of harmony, the power of security, the power of protection. Or you say, well, where is that power? I don't see it. Of course not. God did not create human senses. How can human senses see God? But let yourself transcend those senses. And when you are told to lean not on thine own understanding, that means you must come to a level where you do not stand there in your mind and say, only what I can understand will I follow. You cannot follow the Master with your understanding. If you were to limit yourself to your understanding, you would be limiting God to your level of understanding. And that would like be like saying to a higher mathematics instructor, teach this 3-year-old mathematics, but teach them calculus on their level of 3 years old, and it cannot be done. The calculus wouldn't get down to that 3-year-old mind. God cannot teach you down to your level. You must accept God's level on faith. And God's level is one power. Functioning right where you stand now. And as you dwell in this a moment, you will see that it is very reasonable, because who is there and what is there that can remove the presence of God? Have we not established clearly that God is everywhere, omnipresent? Right where you stand is holy ground. Neither low here nor low there, but the kingdom of God is within you. If God is everywhere, Isn't the power of God everywhere? Isn't the sense mind unaware that the power of God is everywhere? Isn't the sense mind experiencing only that which it can touch and see and feel? It doesn't see and touch and feel the power of God. Who's hypnotized, God or the sense mind? God is everywhere. And the power of God must be where God is. And therefore the sense mind, which does not experience that power, must be hypnotized. It simply has not the capacity to experience the power of God. But the power of God is present right now. There is a simple analogy about the sun. If you were an infant or a young child, and your parents said to you that the sun had been stolen from the sky, and that is why the sun was not shining today, you might believe your parent that the sun had actually been stolen from the sky. And as you grew up, you would learn that the sun couldn't be stolen from the sky. It has to be there. It might be covered momentarily by a cloud. But you could say with assurance that the cloud will pass and the sun will shine again. So with the power of God. But we in our infancy, spiritually, we have been convinced that someone could come and steal away the power of God. Tuck it away in a shelf somewhere or a closet. What we haven't understood is that the power of God is always present and functioning at its fullness. And as the sun is never taken out of the sky, but is only covered by a cloud, so the power of God is ever present, although our sense minds function as a cloud. Our clouds of thought block our experience of the present power of the Father. And that power never extends into our clouds of thought for a very simple reason. Our human experience never extends beyond our thought. The sensory images of our mind are not the life or the mind of God. The power of God will not extend to the illusory nature of our thinking. The power of God functions in reality, in the kingdom of heaven on earth. And we, skirting around in human thought, are pulling clouds down over that ever-present power, and then, seemingly knowing so much, we have assumed that the power of God was absent. We have been so clever that we have been able to take God's power and remove it. We who could not remove the sun from the sky have been hypnotized into believing that God's power could be absent from where God is. As you rectify your error and accept that there is no power present but the one power of God, because it cannot go anywhere, I can never leave thee or forsake thee, then we know that whatever demonstrates the power of evil is as much a lie as the belief that the sun was taken out of the sky. If God's power is present and functioning, then that which we see as evil cannot be there even though we see it with our sense mind. How can the power of God be here and functioning, and evil be here too? The acceptance of evil is the denial of the presence of God. And we inadvertently, in accepting the presence of evil, in any form, have been duped by our sense mind into believing that God's power is not present. But which is present, God or evil? They cannot both be present. The mind we have relied upon to lead us through life is revealed as undependable. It sees the evil, but it does not see God. God is here, and the evil is not. Once we have accepted one power, every so-called power which contradicts the presence of God's perfect power is then revealed as non-power. We have come into the understanding of the omnipotence of the Father. Only the Father's power is present, and all that denies it is a liar. It has fooled our sense mind, but now that I have risen to the point where I am beginning to be the light of the world, I cannot be fooled. God is present. God's love is present. Every quality of the Father is equally present. How could there be less of God over there than over here? How could God tomorrow be more than God today? How could there be love of God in one direction and not in another? And as I find the qualities of God are present where God is, then those qualities being harmony, peace, truth, love, intelligence, wisdom, justice, equality, go on. All that denies the presence of those qualities is again a hypnotism of the mind. The clouds of mesmerism are being dissolved as we accept that I, being the light and life of God, am no longer subject to the material laws of this world. I can stand me still and behold the salvation of truth. I can stand in the midst of mine enemies, knowing there are none. I am the light of the world, and they are the light of the world. The sense mind, which sees us as different, has been misled. I no longer have a sense mind as my God. Now, just as the acceptance of one power is possible when you have accepted the allness of God, knowing there is nothing else present but God, we who wish to come into the realization of the light must go many steps higher. When you understand that the allness of God precludes the possibility of a second power, a power of evil, a power of destruction, a power of pain, because only the one power can be, you can then see something that has never been explained in this particular fashion before. Now, this is the step for those of you who are ready. Eternity is never less than itself. There is no such thing as time in eternity. Eternity is all this. Stick a magnifying glass here and let eternity come through, and on the other side of it, you'll see time. The sense mind sees time, where only eternity is. In time, things become, things age. But just as false powers are accepted when you're not in the knowledge of one power, when you're in the knowledge of eternity, as all there is, never becoming a fraction of itself, being eternally eternal, then you know that time is a concept of the sense mind. And just as it fractionalizes eternity, it then provides a concept as a basis for the process we call aging, becoming, growing into. But if there is no time in which to age, there can be no aging. If there is no time in which to become something, there can be no becoming. God isn't aging. God isn't becoming. The light of your being isn't aging. It isn't becoming. It isn't growing. It is being. And just as infinity can either be fractionalized down into something finite, we discover then that space, too, is a concept of the sense mind. For you to go somewhere requires space. For you to return requires space. But there is no space. And that reveals the going and the coming cannot take place because there's no space in which it can take place, but it's real to the sense mind. God isn't going, and God isn't coming. God is omnipresence. And the light of God is omnipresence. I am the light of God. Ye are the light of God. The light is being. It is ever becoming. You can never really become anything because you are being itself. Now remember, this is for those who are ready for it. And you'll find that there's a reason we have to come to this. Law, there's only one law. And that law being divine, there are no variations of that law, and there are no inequalities in that law. And as you take the one life, the one being, the one law, the one power, the one mind, these are all qualities of the one light that you are. If you strive with a human mind to understand them and level them to your degree of understanding, then you have lost the message of transcending the human mind. And so there's a great surrender in which you accept yourself to be the light. And then you accept yourself to be the qualities of the light. And then all that denies the qualities that you are is not you, is not part of you, and has as much power as the power of people to take the sun out of the sky. It can only have the power that you permit it to have by your belief. And so you come to a place where words can no longer suffice
where human thoughts are inadequate, completely in the way, you come to that level of no thought, above words, above thoughts, where you're in a state of awareness, a state of divine consciousness. You are the light being itself. And you find at that level, the light dissolves the darkness of human problems, human fears, human frustrations, human limitations. I, the light, am unlimited. And if there is a limitation anywhere, you have not accepted identity. I, the light, am immortal. If you see a mortal on the face of the earth, even one, you have not accepted that God is the Father of all, and therefore all is immortal. If you see one mortal, you are depriving that individual of the fathership of God. And as you dwell at this level, you really do experience a change in mind. A change that takes you out of the human mind, transcending the sense mind, opening your soul faculties, and gone is this magnifying glass. Gone is the tomb of the senses. You are liberated into the wholeness of being, into your complete self, into the infinite. And it is there that you will hear the voice. Now we may feel, I can't do this all by myself. Or I can't do this in a day or a month or a year. But be assured that that's just what you've been doing up to now. You have been developing within yourself the capacity to leave behind you the old man and to put on the new man. You have been developing that capacity to suddenly burst forth into bud and then into flower. And it doesn't matter how barren it may have seemed to you or seems now. Illumination comes quickly, even though it may take years to come. When it comes quickly. And you never know when. Your sole function is to continue in the word of the Father, in integrity to that word, in fidelity to the truth of your own being, ever being lifted by the knowledge that because you are the light of the world, because that light is the life of God, there must come a moment when the light breaks through, for it is the will of the Father that he be perfect as your Father. In your meditations this coming week, it would be expedient to think of yourself as the light and to go through your list of the qualities of God that are in the light and to realize that right where you are being the light, those qualities are. What appears in the visible at the moment is the expression of the manifestation of your sense mind, plus whatever spiritual development you may have had up to now. But what will appear will be the fruitage of your spiritual progress when you develop that fidelity and loyalty not to personal self, but to the Word of the Father, to glorifying the Spirit of God, which is the light of your being, rather than the personal sense of self. How can you be the light and be something else? And as long as you remain in the attitude of being something else, you are violating your own being. A house divided. But because you are the light, the Father says, all that I have is thine. My light is your light. My life is your life. Who is this light that you are? Do we not see that the Father created man in his image and likeness? Male and female created he them. We have been living as a mortal image, unaware that we are the divine image. And that divine image is the light. And its name is the Son of God. Is there another Son of God that you know of? If you are not the light, can you be the child of God? If you are not the child of God, can you be under the government of His love? Is there a second life? Is there a second Son? We know not any. We have made ourselves orphans by not accepting that we are the divine image, seen through the glass darkly of a sense mind. And that divine image that we are is the light of the world. Not will be, not will become, but are. That has been the reality of our being eternally. Do you see the word identity then as a key to your work in spiritual unfoldment? If you are not in identity, you are out of focus. If you are not meditating as the child of God, the light, you are not making your contact. If you are not knowing yourself to be the living light of the Father, how can the powers of that light express when you are denying it to be your identity? You are keeping yourself outside the light.